Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt, slashing your taxes, and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, who met his wife while training for the 400 meters in Seattle and is eating gluten-free whilst lusting after bread, Dave Denniston.
My name is Dave Denniston, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Well, in my book, The Freedom Formula for Physicians, I mention repeatedly, time after time, how being a business owner is not only an awesome way to make some income, but it's also chock full of having lots and lots of business deductions and to decrease your taxes. Well, with so many physicians, they're punching the clock every day. And today, as employees, and I really sense a shift coming. I was just reading a Medscape report about compensation, and it talked about how there's so many doctors that are unhappy now. And I think a big change is coming on us when physicians want to reclaim their time, to reclaim their freedom. And I believe that physician entrepreneurs are going to be coming back. Well, who better to speak to this than a physician who has done it herself? And that's why I thought I would bring a guest, my friend, Dr. Philippa Keneally. Philippa is the president of the Entrepreneurial MD. She works with physicians who are struggling to become entrepreneurs and building their own successful businesses. She's actually a board-certified family physician. She left her own private practice in 1996 and then much later launched her first speaking and coaching business, Oya Consulting. And, you know, she is so passionate about professional development for physicians, having been one herself. She wants to see physicians reinvigorate their careers, to overcome burnout from assembly line medicine. And as has been reported to her repeatedly, physicians are longing for more control over their lives. And she told me she believes entrepreneurship is one way to reintroducing doctors to their own creativity and resourcefulness. She's been a coach. She's had this big belief in helping physicians make their own way and to start with their own inventive ideas. So welcome, Philippa.
Well, thank you so much for having me here, Dave.
Oh, you bet. Well, looking forward to gathering your thoughts, working with as many physicians as you do. But first, tell us a bit about you. I mentioned in your introduction that you were in medicine and you shifted your focus. Tell us more about your journey and how you've gotten to where you are now.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to take as long as it probably does take to tell you about my journey, so I'll give you the thumbnail version. I have done quite a bit of career change in my life. I've also changed countries. Having this accent obviously tells you that I'm from somewhere else. I was actually born and raised in South Africa and did my medical school training there, and then had the opportunity to work in the rural bush in Zimbabwe just as that country was emerging into independence, which was a really fun experience and obviously something very different from what one would expect as a physician here in this country. And then for personal reasons, I moved to the United States a long time ago, or a little over 30 years ago, had to redo my training, and then went into practice as a family physician. Did that for a number of years and then realized that I wouldn't have known to call it that, but I was probably burning out and that I desperately needed a change. So having got my master's in public health, I actually then found myself in the position of being a hospital administrator, medical director, and then went on to become the CEO of a hospital, and took a complete 180-degree turn at some point, and went on to work in an internet startup, which was a really, really fun experience until, of course, the dot-com bust came. And then I had to reevaluate my life at that point, and one of the things I'd encountered along the way was this thing called coaching. And I'd always thought that it was a really intriguing idea because it seemed to me like it was one of those helping professions, and that I would maybe consider this as a retirement career until I was sort of looking at a big empty future, not sure what I wanted to do, pretty sure that I did not want to go back into clinical medicine. And so I decided to become a coach back in 2002. did my training certification, and I've been doing this work ever since 2002, and have really chosen to focus in on working with physicians primarily because that's my natural fit. That's the group of people that I understand best, and that's where I think a fair amount of help can be offered. So that's it in a nutshell.
Well, what an amazing journey. So you started in South Africa, and you got your medical degree there, and then the Zimbabwe in the bush, that was been an amazing experience. And then you came to the U.S., and you have you been all over the U.S., or mostly you're in Southern California, I understand?
No, I've been primarily living exclusively living in Southern California. I've had the pleasure of traveling much in the country, but that's almost always for pleasure, although fairly recently I've been doing a fair amount of travel for work as well.
Very cool. Well, you're a business owner yourself. You've owned your own practice. You've been a CEO. Let's chat about physicians as business owners. What are you seeing out there today?
Well, I'm seeing that there's as you said in your introduction, a sort of a big push for physicians to either consolidate or join organizations and enterprises and really give up that independence that they've treasured and really thrived under until they were no longer thriving financially. And so there's been a lot of pressure on them to sort of make major changes, and there's been a big split in the way they've chosen. A relatively small percentage, have chosen to hang in there but revamp their business models, so becoming sort of more concierge or hybrid concierge.
Right.
And obviously a small number of them have been able to stay in the kinds of practices that they've always been in, but they're more typically people in smaller communities where they still have, I would say, the market share of patients. But to the largest extent, I would say physicians are now kind of throwing the towel in and saying, well, I'm just going to go join a Kaiser or join some big organization or have some big daddy corporation take care of me and my practice, or I'm going to join an academic medical center. You know, my practice will become an academic medical center's practice. My husband was one, for example, his practice was acquired by a medical center, an academic medical center, and it's been a very positive experience for him, but he was at a sort of a much later stage in his career. So it's a very shifting landscape is the bottom line as far as I can tell.
Yeah, it seems like for the most part, the business owner, entrepreneurial physician has been a dying breed, but I really sense a lot of angst out there and now people might be shifting the other direction. Do you sense that yourself or no?
Well, I don't know that I could say that the majority are shifting into a more entrepreneurial mode. I think the majority are shifting into a sort of a more depressed, should we say, repressed mode. But I think that there is a fairly substantial number of physicians who are sort of saying, well, I refuse to go down that path, so let me look at alternatives, including leaving the practice of medicine but using the skills that I've acquired over time to build some other not necessarily traditional clinical practice.
Well, you know, I was preparing for this interview, and I ran into those kind of people because I was browsing through your site and found out that you have your own podcast, The Conversations with Trailblazers. And I went through a couple of episodes, and I thought there's some really cool stories that we could share with other physicians of how some incredibly successful docs have transitioned to become business owners. So tell us about that. Tell us about one or two of your favorites.
Well, I can tell you about it in general. I would have a very hard time picking on one or two of my favorites because they've been such a fascinating array of highly motivated and skilled people to interview. So let me speak to the array of kind of folks that I've spoken to. I've spoken to, you know, interviewed inventors, folks who've come up with sort of new non-traditional practice models that are quite different from your everyday traditional practice model, folks who've become consultants, physicians who've been writers, you know, they've written books, more than one of them in many cases, anything from novels to, you know, nonfiction, how to help people. Physicians who've gone into or developed new services, including technological services. Physicians who've developed much more sort of holistic health programs, health, much more focused on health and wellness as opposed to taking care of disease. Physicians who've formed nonprofits, a lot of those emerging out of their own personal experiences, you know, physicians who've had breast cancer and developed products or services as a result of that. A physician I recall whose child was desperately ill and who developed a service as a result of that. Physicians who've become professional speakers. So it's been just a great array of physicians doing all kinds of different things.
And how does this usually happen? You know, kind of take me through the process. Is it something where they're still practicing medicine for a long time as they transition to being an entrepreneur, or does it happen suddenly? How does that occur?
I think, once again, I think that the diversity is so big that really I think it's any and all of that. There have been some physicians whose life circumstances have cropped up where they've had to make a fairly drastic change and totally rethink how they approach being a professional, showing up as a professional. There have been physicians, there have been many physicians I've interviewed who are currently in some degree of clinical practice, but who are very actively involved in the business as a sideline. And then there are some who sort of gradually transitioned out of medicine, having had a sideline business and then recognizing that they really couldn't keep that up and their clinical practices, and have opted, once they felt that their business was a sort of a viable business model and they had something that was generating reasonable income, that they've made the decision to opt out of that kind of practice altogether. And then, of course, there are some physicians whose actual practices have become highly entrepreneurial. So they haven't left practice at all.
Right. Well, first, let's just keep it pretty basic. What are the first few things that physicians should consider when they're starting their own business? Take us through those steps.
Well, some of the work that I do up front with my clients when we're talking about launching a business is it's very important to recognize the difference between being very gung-ho about something and having strong beliefs about something and feeling like this is something that you've seen before in your practice that you think would be a good idea, and discerning whether there's a real viable market for the offering, whether it's a product or a service. So having the discipline to do a little bit of upfront due diligence to determine whether there really was a market for your services is very important. And I'll just give you my own personal story. When I decided to transition out of Oya Consulting, which was my sort of more generalist coaching business, into the entrepreneurial MD, I did that in 2006. Before I decided to have this much more focused area, particularly from a marketing standpoint, I quickly discovered that you can't, you know, I could coach anybody, theoretically, but I can't market to everybody. It's just not targeted and focused enough, and so I had to pick a niche, particularly for the purposes of marketing. And I wasn't sure that there was, I loved coaching physician entrepreneurs, but I wasn't sure that there were a lot of physicians who would be interested in those coaching services. So I had the opportunity to do a survey and survey a group of physicians through a relationship that I had, somebody who had a lot of physicians on a list, and I came back with 85 people really, really interested, expressing very strong interest out of 100 surveys that I sent out. And I felt that that was probably a relatively strong indicator that there was going to be enough of a market. Now, so I didn't have to hire a marketing focus group person or anything like that. This day and age, with accesses to things like SurveyMonkey or LinkedIn or good networking opportunities, I think it's perfectly okay to be able to ascertain a market. But it's not just about you and your idea. It's about, is there a marketplace of people who are interested, who have a need or a desire, and an ability to pay? That's critical to determine. Secondly, I think it's really important to recognize that whatever you're going to do is going to take time, and it always takes two or three times as much time as you estimate it's going to take.
Right.
So be realistic about time management and how are you going to fit this into your life if you have to do multiple shifts in the emergency room, or if you have to show up every single day in your practice, or if you have to do surgery three or four times a week. You do need to know that this is going to take time, and it's going to take the third thing, which I think is the ability to sort of really organize your thinking. You can't just flit around the place and just go from here to there and hope that out of this some kind of business will emerge. I think that that's inefficient and is going to take an incredibly long time, and is also going to lead most people to give up because they really haven't developed a systemized approach to things. So
yes,
organizing your thinking and then doing some realistic planning. When I say realistic, it's hard to be realistic about something that doesn't exist yet, but sitting down and doing some planning that says, here's a best case scenario, here's a medium case scenario, and here's a worst case scenario. Is this still enough here for me to move forward? I think that that's really important as a way to begin thinking about going into business for yourself as an entrepreneur.
Well, and I find, of course, physicians are so busy, finding time can be difficult. And I know for myself, finding time to write or do podcasts, what I have to do is block out time. You have to dedicate
it. Talent management, yes, absolutely.
So you got to dedicate that time and be committed to doing what you're doing. So that might mean maybe saying on every Friday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. I'm going to work on my business, whatever that may be.
Exactly. And you used a really interesting phrase there, working on my business. Most people get caught up working in the business, delivering the service or making the product. And it's critical to carve out that time to work on the business, to strategize or to come up with your marketing plan that you're going to adhere to on a regular basis, or establishing the critical relationships that are going to be important to help you move the business forward.
And I find for myself, being a business owner, I think I have the attitude, and I think many people make this mistake of I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to give up. If I mess up on something, it's going to happen, right? I'm going to make a mistake, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going and keep trying and keep pushing until I make it succeed.
Correct. You're saying that that's helpful.
Yeah. And I think
that persistence and that tenacity is critically important. I would say that that's a really common theme amongst all the physicians that I've interviewed for my podcast series, this idea that having the tenacity to keep pushing through the down times and the disappointments has been very important to their success.
Absolutely. No, I can't agree more. You got to keep on going at it when you're passionate and you love doing what you do. And what about just financially? This is one of the tough things of being a business owner. And I think there's some pitfalls. What do you see, Philippa, in terms of how physicians can get trapped when they start a business? What's some good financial advice that you would give to folks?
Well, I see it as sort of one of two extremes in a way. I see that either physicians are sort of underestimating what it's going to cost to get a business up and running and not really recognizing that there are capital requirements, you know, what it's going to take to get the business started, and then there are operational costs that might be needed on a sort of a monthly or a quarterly or an annual basis, and plugging all of that into some kind of a pro forma to understand what this business is going to cost them. And not recognizing also that there's an opportunity cost, that when you choose to do something focused on one particular activity, you lose the ability to do another activity. So we would call that the opportunity cost. And understanding that there are very often opportunity costs, and you want to evaluate whether that opportunity cost is worth it or not. So
right.
underestimating what it's going to cost. I think the other thing that I see often as an opposite extreme, and this is more in the coaching that I do rather than the folks who've actually made it in the podcast series, is that they sort of overestimate what it's going to cost. And this has a sort of a negative impact on their ability to move forward. They become paralyzed, thinking, well, I can't really do this because I can't afford to, and it leads to a lot of fear. And again, going back to the conversation with Trailblazers series, the ones who've made it have been able to get over that fear and take on some risk and recognize that there is no guaranteed future, although ironically in healthcare now there's no guaranteed future, even as a practicing physician and clinician. So I see it as sort of two different extremes in a way, overestimating what it might cost and then holding back for fear that it's going to cost too much, or underestimating what it's going to cost, not being realistic, and then finding yourself in a bigger hole than you anticipated. I don't know if that's similar to what you've heard.
Well, you know, I think that I find overestimating on costs by itself, as you mentioned, isn't necessarily a bad thing. But I think it's this whole emotion that you mentioned of fear overall. It's fear of failure. It's fear of the unknown. It's fear of what am I going to do? What is life going to be like when you have, in most cases, a very steady, very nice paying job? And I think that in general, if I was to boil it out into one word, it would be fear from what I see of people starting their own business and people that are entrepreneurs. You look at these people on Shark Tank. When they see something that they love and they hop onto it, they don't have fear about it. You know, they're going to do whatever they can to make it work. So I think that's what really separates a successful business owner from one that doesn't make it, which, what is the statistic, 80%, 85% of businesses close? I can't remember.
Well, it depends on the length of time that you're looking at, but a fairly high number close within a short period of time, and then obviously a significantly higher number close within 5 years. So being able to plan ahead and be in it for the long haul, I think, is important.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's kind of interesting where today one of the big financial pitfalls that is really tough to deal with as a young physician, if you've just transitioned out of residency, you have $200,000, $300,000 in medical school debt. And that can be a real tough deal. Have you been seeing any young physician entrepreneurs, Philippa, that have been making it and paying off their student debts and successfully starting?
Well, I'm actually working with a young woman right now who's very, very disciplined. And she's had a fair amount of debt, but she has she and her husband have been very, very disciplined about having a budget, sticking to it, and then being rigorous about paying off her debt. So she needs to pay off some more still, but she's being very, very careful with how she is managing her debt. So yes, I'm working with somebody right now of that. It's not the common one. I tend to work with physicians who are sort of burning out of clinical practice a little bit later in the process, so more 40 and up. But She's a perfect example of a physician who's only been doing this for a couple of years and is already seeing that this is absolutely not the lifestyle that she thought she signed up for.
Well, and you know, there's just so many cool things with being a business owner in terms of choosing your corporate structure and having it be more tax efficient, setting up your own retirement plan that are fantastic ways to be saving tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. So it's something so important to me that I think more physicians should do. And I think as we kind of wrapping up here, as we're getting towards the time, one of the things I love doing is empowering people, empowering physicians with resources. And whether it's a book for a resident or a fellow or practicing physician or some videos or some courses, it seems like that financial 101 course gets missed out in the midst of all the schooling. So, Philippa, what would you suggest in terms of resources that you would suggest to a physician that's looking to start their own practice or become a business owner? What's some good stuff you'd turn them on to?
Well, a couple of there's one book that was really, really critical to my thinking, and it was a big eye-opener for me as I, you know, because I jumped in, started a coaching business, didn't really know what I was doing, and then as I was coming up with the Entrepreneurial MD, wanted to get it right. It's not that I was doing it wrong or incorrectly for the first few years, but I didn't really know what I was doing. So I was learning about business massively on the fly for the first two or three years. But a book that really, really turned my thinking around was called The E-Myth, Revisited by Michael Gerber. I think that's a really, really critical book for people to read. E-Myth, E standing for entrepreneur. There is one for medical practices. I didn't find that a very good book. He wrote that one as well. But just The E-Myth Revisited, he originally wrote the first book, I think, in the 80s, and then he revisited the book and wrote it in the, I think, later 90s. And he also has a mastery, E-Myth Mastery book, where he goes into great depth about how to actually apply what he says in the E-Myth. But just that book alone, I think, is fantastic. Depending on what line you're going into, there's another book that actually a lot of my clients have found helpful, What Business Should I Start? By Rhonda Abrams. She just takes people through the step of thinking in a much more business-like fashion, and it's very helpful for the physician who's feeling entrepreneurial, thinking about getting out of practice or thinking about doing something in addition to their practice because they're frustrated or they're bored or they're just looking for new stimulation and don't know exactly which direction to turn in. So it's a great process for helping think through what business might be a good fit for them. Quite frankly, I would offer my own website as a resource for physicians, just because I've been blogging for, well, since 2006, so what's that? That's 9 years. There's 9 years of content on all kinds of topics relating to professional development, and in particular, professional development as an entrepreneur or as a physician business owner. And then,
I was going to say, what is that website, just so people know where to go to?
That's entrepreneurialmd.com. The quick way to get there is T for Tommy, E for Edward, M for Mary, D for David, home, H-O-M-E. That's all one word, T-E-M-D, home.com. Otherwise, if you can spell it, it's entrepreneurialmd.com. And there's just a huge, I've just actually redone my website, so it's now fully mobile responsive. And then, you know, another book that I thought was really, really helpful if you're wanting to understand how to use the internet as part of your resources, by a guy called Corey Perlman. It's a book called E-Boot Camp. It was written back in 2009, but he really did get under the skin of what the internet is all about and how to think about a business that's got an online component to it. He's also written a couple of updated books on social media and on speaking presentations. But I just, you know, a few basics like that. And in fact, I actually have a list of book resources on my website as well.
Well, they'll have to check it out, and they can find out.
Yes, Exactly.
Well, this was great, Philippa. I think there's a lot of great things people can walk away with here. If people have more questions, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, I do have a contact form on my website, which is probably the easiest way to get hold of me because I'm very responsive to email. And so if they just go to the contact page on my web form, I'm assuming that somewhere on your blog or somewhere you'll have a link associated with this podcast, and you could just put in the Entrepreneurial MD with a link. My contact form would be there. That would probably be the easiest way to get hold of me.
Awesome. Okay, great. Any other closing thoughts?
No, I think you're doing a great service for physicians, helping them get their finances in order and helping them look at different ways as to how they can optimize their own professional experiences. And so I think everything that you're doing is going to, you know, bringing in these kinds of conversations is going to be invaluable for them as they think their way towards professional fulfillment.
Well, thank you. Thank you. No, this is fun, and I appreciate you having you on. And I just want to say to folks out there, if you're a physician and you want to share your story, you have something else you want to share here, you're grappling with some of these tough issues of starting your own business, you want to get on the soapbox for a few minutes, I'd love to share it too in the next Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. And you can contact me at dave@daviddeniston.com or on my website, drfreedompodcast.com. Well, make sure to subscribe for the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. This is Dave Deniston. Thank you so much for joining us, and make sure to check in again soon. Have a good one.